stood out to me. You know, what it was saying, that whole thing is saying where sin becomes so common to us that we're not afraid to broadcast it. We're not afraid to show it off. We know the internet, you can see any and everything all the time. You know, no one's ashamed of it anymore. Just call yourself a Christian doesn't mean anything anymore. You can wear what you want to wear, do whatever you want to do. So that's what conformity is all about, you know, and that's what the devil wants us to do in all areas of our lives. So if we go back to the slide before, and it's very simple, you know, it's a yes and no. If I were to show that to a kid and say, which one is nice, they would always say the smiley face with the yes and the sad face with the no. But remember, God is the opposite of this world. So when we start seeing God's no as blessings in our lives, we're now on the right track. He's going to say no to us because he has a provided way. So he can't take our way. If a good father who's laying out a plan for our lives, he has to say, tell us no, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Man, think about if we locked in everything when we were teenagers and we set it in and we said, this is what we want. Man, I would be ashamed of the things right now that I thought was the best. My goodness, you know, we would think, if I could just get with that girl, my life would be, thank God. You know, praise the Lord. Think about it. You know, if I just had this or if I just had that, oh, my life would be set. But God had a plan, and that's why we're all here today. God orchestrated our lives with yes and no's and all of that to bring this church together today because he has a plan that he's working on, and we want his provided way. Now, the devil is always going to be about yes. He's always going to try to find a way for you. He's never going to tell you no. He's going to say, there is a way, and I can make it easy. That's always been his tactic. Back in the Garden of Eden, we know Adam and Eve. God said no. Devil said, hey, we can find a way for you. We got you. And he'll do the same thing today, the same thing. And money is just a tool to help you see how he works. So if you can't afford something, he'll find a way. Make it very easy for you. It's always been his trick. When God told Cain and Abel, told Cain, hey, nope, you can't do this. He said, no, I'm going to still do it. And then I'm going to get angry if I can't do it. And that's the same attitude we'll have. When we can't get our way, we start getting upset and angry. So just remember, God is saying no because he has a provided way that is so much better if we can learn to wait on the Lord. Go to the next slide. So conform, let's go to the next. Conform, it means with. Or together means basically to adopt the form of those around you. Conformity can be defined as the act of matching attitudes and beliefs and behaviors to group norms. Conformity can occur due to a variety of factors, including the desire for approval or acceptance, a need for social harmony, hey, we got to fit in, or a perceived lack of personal knowledge or certainty about a particular issue. You may just not know, and you're just going with the flow. That's the picture on the side. If you can tell what it is, it's three of the same elements in different forms. One is water, one is ice, and the other is steam. So we know water is going to go with the flow. And that's what the world wants. Don't want us to make a scene. Just go with the flow. Go with it. Why disrupt? Why do it differently? Just go along with it. Then he wants to freeze you in that as ice. So you're locked into that for the rest of your life. You're going with something. He sets you in and now you're stuck. However, if we can get heated with the Lord, then we become steam. We rise above all of this. And that's what God wants us to do, to rise above it so we can see him by the grace of the Lord Jesus. See, I was, as I told you, my testimony coming up, you know, I was used to thinking like a slave. We grew up extremely poor. So, you know, all around us was just chaos. And we thought like a slave. As soon as I started making a little money, I thought, well, I have to get everything. I got to get it now. Can't wait. And, you know, God set me up and he told me no to my business idea and all the plans that I had. And that transformed my life, helped me to renew my mind. And that's what I'm trying to encourage you, just in a small area. So as we go to the bigger things that God has, your mind can be renewed. God has blessings for each and every one of us that's beyond what we can even imagine. But we have to be able to manage that. We have to be able to manage these things that God has for us. And without the character, there is simply no way. And remember, he's going to say no if we can't handle it. He's not like us. We might give in. You know, we might say, well, okay, I feel so sorry for him. Look at his face. I'm just going to go ahead and give in, you know. I know he blew all this money, but I'm going to give him that loan. I'm going to go and co-sign. God is not like that. He's like, if you can't handle it, I am not going to give it to you. And you will go your entire journey and die in the same way. That's how serious he is, because he wants you to manage it well. He wants to bless us. So when God told me no, he certainly set me up for a miracle and a blessing. So as we repeat, don't conform to the world's way of saying yes to everything. If you can wait on the Lord, you'll see him come on the scene. Next slide. As I shared the testimony of my dad and God saying no, and a lot of things I know from the lessons that I learned in life through all of this, this helped us navigate the difficult situation with my dad. Difficult situation, had to get out of the house that he was in. But it was many ways that we could have said yes. So I want to make sure that point is clear. We live in a world today where you can find a way. You got to understand that. You see, this is very different. We can make a way today. Okay, you can push yourself. You can make it happen and compromise on what God wants for you. I could say, well, you know what? I'm tired of this stress. We're just going to borrow. We're just going to buy. We're just going to do. Not give God an opportunity to say no. So as we were looking at things, we didn't know. So we would put a contract on a house. But instead of going all out to make sure it happened, we said, okay, let's give God a little room here. If God wants this, now we're going to wait on him to see what he's going to do. So we're going to put it in maybe slightly lower, but still a good deal. And then we wait on God. Now, but instead, we can say, no, we're going to go. So take that same approach with anything that you have now. If you said, I can make it happen without giving God an opportunity to give you a yes or no, then you're going to prevent God from coming on the scene. Right. All right. So we said, no. We allowed God to do that. And by God's grace, he opened a door for my dad that was a blessing and a miracle beyond what we can even imagine or think. And we thank God today. But we had to walk through those no's slowly. You're tired, yes, wanting to make it happen, wanting to do something to make it. But no, we just waited on God and we saw him come through. And Brother Branham says, but you see what it is? It's God in his mercy providing. Sometimes a thing gets real low where we wonder how it's going to be, but God has already provided. He just holds it up here, drawing interest on it. You see, to give it to you. That is nothing but the truth. He holds it, waiting for that right time, allowing, if you're going to allow it to get real low, can you trust him? Can you trust him to allow it to get real low? All right. Now, right before he said this quote, now this message is God has a provided way. Let's go to the next. Before this quote, it's exactly what we're talking about. He said, I'm going to read through this. He said, I looked at my old Pontiac the other day. It was getting all beat up. The hydromatic is going out on it. And I got two little girls that bounces around a whole lot in the seats. And they about broke the seats down out of it. And I went and had it prepared. And the man said, Billy, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll give you a good swap for that. I said, how can I swap that? I said, I can't do it. He said, well, your credit's good around here. As long as you want it, I'll hold your note. I said, that's mighty nice, but I can't do it. Said, I'll give you a real good deal on it. Said, being a preacher, I'll give it to you at wholesale. I said, that's nice, but see, I can't do it, see. And said, well, if you ever take a notion to swap, let me know. And said, all right. Next slide. So then I thought, well, God, this old thing is right, is all right for me. It's fine and dandy. That in my old truck. Now, you may not know what he's doing. But he's renewing his mind. He's pausing and thinking. Wait a second. You know, my good truck is, you know, my car. It's good. It's fine for me. You know, I said we beat around over the country with it. It's okay. Been doing it all these years. I can continue on. You know, I don't have to do this. And the other night, a phone call came from California. He said on the 31st of the month, there will be one of the biggest Cadillacs that's made will be brought and set at your door for service to you. I said, no, brother, please. I said, don't do it. I said, don't. I said, my neighbors wouldn't understand that. And people, I don't need a Cadillac. I said, take the difference and give it somebody else. If you want to help me, give me a Ford, all right, or a Chevy. I said, he said, no, this is already bought and it's setting here. I don't know what I'll do with it. That's what Brother Brenham said. The next slide. And this is when he said, but you see what it is, God in his mercy providing. Yeah. Now, that's a natural thing, but look what this prophet is showing us. He sat there, renewed his mind instead of compromising, and God came on the scene and blessed him. Now, that's natural. Blessed him. And that's what it is. We have to allow it to sometimes get low so God can come on the scene. The devil's going to find a way for that dryer, that washer, that refrigerator. He's going to find a way that you can get around it. You see, but we're not going to give God a chance so we can build our faith in the things of God to see, wow, God, you will come on the scene if I can just hold out. I can hold out by your grace and do what it takes. Because God is holding it. He is. So we see from the prophet's example how he sat there. He resisted. He renewed his mind. Valuing that old car. You know what? It could still go on. It's still here. You know, what am I doing it for anyway? And that's what God wants us to do. Just to think. Now, if you can afford it, there's nothing wrong with that. But still think. Do I want it? Am I ready? Is it the right time? Thank God I didn't get a brand new car when my kids were little. All those chips and pretzels and candy and all that stuff would have been around. Thank God. My goodness. You see, so there's a season that might be right, you know, but even in that, we want to just give God an opportunity to work. Give him. He knows what the future holds for us. So give him that opportunity. Resist. Be thankful. Renew your mind. Wait on God. God has a provided way. But watch those tools that he used. He renewed his mind. He started being thankful. Gratefulness is a powerful tool. Grateful. And so that's what we got to watch, what Satan is trying to do in this day and time. Let's go to the next slide. Back to this quote that's just always dear to my heart for all of us to keep this in mind. Clean your lives up. Pay your debts. Owe no man. Get all things right. Get everything right. Make ready. Get ready. Remember the name of the Lord. Something is fixing to happen. Cleaning up our lives. So yes, paying your debts, but also cleaning our lives up. Thinking, getting organized where it's slow enough to where we do have peace. Peace in our life, peace in our homes. And what are we coming here for? What are we doing? Are we coming here playing a game? Are we coming here meeting as a lodge? It's Christ can't come until the church is perfectly right. He's waiting on us. I believe we're at the end. We truly know that. We're here at the end. God is waiting on us to get ourselves together. And it's going to be us building through all of these things and getting the character from the smallest mundane, as Brother Luis brought out, things in our life, getting that character through those things that we're working through so we can handle these bigger things. But we are being told. We're being told through the word of God. We're having this word shared to us. We know Brother Sam, if you saw that on WhatsApp, that, you know, said his business is something positive for us. That's right. It's all about growth. And for those who've been here years, by God's grace, I even know the church has gone through financial peace, I believe, with Dave Ramsey. So what is God trying to do? He's trying to give us good things by God's grace. So as a church body, we can be an encouragement to each other in the right way, to encourage us in the right things. So I want you to know, as for me and my house, this is what we're doing. We're fighting this fight by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we get tempted like everybody else. We want to do things. We want nicer things. But I've learned to wait on God. Take it slow. Slow down just a little bit, because God wants to bless us above what we can ask or think. Go to the next slide. And God set out from the beginning. That's been his plan. If we could follow him, he knows so much better than we know. And he laid out for Israel. They were coming out of this land as immigrants, as a body of people coming into a new country, you know, pilgrims and strangers. That's what they were supposed to be. And they were coming into this land, and God was laying out that I will bless you abundantly if you obey me. If you don't, there's nothing but cursings that are laying at the door, because you don't know the way. You're going to do it to yourself if you don't follow what I'm telling you, to be obedient to my word. That's what God says. And the Lord opened up unto thee, and the Lord shall, if you obey, shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain into thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do things. If you can obey. The Lord will do this in your life in all things. It is his word. He set aside to make his people separate and different, to see the blessings of God, to get such a handle on these natural things that we can see God. You see, we start knowing that money can't solve all my problems. So it becomes a smaller thing that we're managing, and we become like Abraham, who was very, very rich. But that didn't mean anything to him. You know, even he knew money couldn't buy his son a wife. So he said, Lord, take Eliezer down here. Look, he didn't think of it in that way. It was just a tool to help him to be a blessing. That's all it was for Abraham. That's what it was. And that's what God wants us, is the same thing in our lives, that where we can manage this thing, show the character of Christ in the small things, and take that same model, just like a map, and model it into the greater things, the true riches of God. But we have to be able to follow God. And we know what happened to Israel. They slowly, the next chapters in this verse, next verses in this chapter, he talks about, of course, all of the cursings, and he laid it out. And now they said, looking into that kingdom, they thought they would drift apart and lose everything that God had for them. No, they didn't do it. And it happened slowly. What happened? They started losing gratitude, right? They started looking around, looking at what everybody else was doing. And they lost that renewing of their mind, that thankfulness. Like, hey, you know what? We are chosen people. We're special people to begin with. The unseen. I don't need to be exactly like the world to consider myself blessed by God. I can thank the Lord for choosing me, for calling me, for giving me a wonderful wife, to all of these things that are unseen, instead of counting my blessings with the things that are seen. But they kept looking around. They had a king. This nation's doing this. And they wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to conform. And slowly they did it until they completely drifted away. And that's the same thing, Bible study, the whore's forehead. Slowly drift away. Our eyes is on everything. You got the internet just blasting away to conform us. We can't be satisfied with anything. The more you look at it, the more you will be unsatisfied. We're sheep, my brothers and sisters. We will follow. It's very difficult. Had a young brother. He posted a picture. He's a young married brother. And he posted a picture. He got his wife, I think, a new vehicle. And he said, what do you do for people you love? I said, well, praise the Lord if he got it now. I'm not quite, if he has saved and he got it. But I would love for him to put that on there. Hey, I also saved and I paid cash for this. Yeah. Then I'd be like, amen, brother, thank the Lord. But if not, then what's that going to do to the other young couple that's like, honey, do you love me? You know, he does this for the thing people he love. You know, I don't know anymore, right? And that thing starts deteriorating. You see what I'm saying? So we have to all be careful what we're looking at. We're just sheep. We're going to go with the flow and start conforming. And that's the devil's tactics, right? If it wasn't an enemy, we wouldn't have to worry about it. But there's an enemy, so he's going to say all of this, yes, to allow you to slowly conform. What is this sister doing in her house? What is this brother doing in? What is? Oh, my goodness. And we start just going along with it instead of taking God's word and conforming to this and being transformed and have our minds renewed. So gratitude. Again, they started losing that gratitude because of the conformity. Stopped being satisfied with what God was providing, when God was providing it, and slowly lost that renewing of their minds. So God wants to renew our minds. He wants us to be thankful. I was reading something as we kind of narrowed down just to show the power of God's word and what he's trying to do with renewing our minds and bless his people, things that they can do that God wants to give us. Go to the next slide. So these are several brands, and I asked, it's Baskin Robbins, it's Ben and Jerry's, it's Google, Facebook, Haagen-Dazs, Snapple, Starbucks, Dale, DreamWorks, I mean, all of these companies. And now they have something very similar in common. You may say, what is in common with these companies? Outside of them certainly wanting to take my money as well, but they definitely do that. But it's something in common with it. And number one thing that's in common, these were all started by Jewish people. all started by Jewish people. Now you say, well, what am I interested in? What makes the Jewish people so successful? Well, they have some principles. They have principles. You know, and that's what I want any young person. Oh, God has principles in this word that he wants to bless you beyond what you can imagine. But the devil wants to take all of that from us. So we can't see God at work. We go with the way of the world instead of God building this character in us until we see these gifts and these blessings in our lives that we can then manage. So Jewish people, we know the history, persecuted all through this, but they still maintain some of that character. Like immigrants, and you know, immigrants, we know, they say, hey, they got an edge. So I'm just going to share some tips with you about immigrants' edge, because we should be pilgrims and strangers. We have tools that God has given us in his word that should allow us to be different, to overcome many of these obstacles. Next slide, we're going to run through as we wrap up. So pilgrims and strangers, immigrant edge. There's actually a book out about this. You know, what make these immigrants, they come over and they're able to just kind of outwork Americans. You know, and I work around the world. You know, God has given me that opportunity to work with people around the world. And I see it. I see it. You can barely sometimes get Americans to show up at work. To show up. And if they show up, it's like, hey, reward me to the max. You know, I came. You know what I mean? I only left 30 minutes early. You know, it's like, but you go around different places that are not taking it for granted. My goodness, they'll work all night, literally. Literally, for a quarter of what someone here is getting paid for. So what is this edge? And we're pilgrims and strangers, so take this with you to renew your mind, start getting that gratitude back in your life. Number one, they're hungry and open to learning good things. So always hungry, being open to learn. We come here by God's grace, a great teaching ministry. It's so much to learn. Take it in. Be hungry, open to it. Praise God for the variety that God brings to this church. It's such a blessing. Hungry, open to learn. Number two, a do whatever it takes mindset. Willing to sacrifice. Get out of the comfort zone. Do whatever it takes. So the same thing, if you need to wait on the Lord, do whatever it takes. If I got to, you know, wash the dishes, our dishwasher is broke. But I am going to get her one. So she's been washing the dishes like, we need, you know, and I tried to fix it once. I'm going to do it one more time. I think I can get it. But do whatever it takes, mindset. Try. A willingness to outwork others. A willingness to keep going, keep working, keep doing. A heartfelt spirit of gratitude. Thank God and focus on what you have, not what you lack. Take that time, pause. You saw the prophet think about, well, I got a car, I got a truck. Hey, I can continue on. To be thankful for what you have. That spirit of gratitude is so powerful. And remember, the devil's trying to take that from us. By seeing everything else, he gradually steals it right out of our hearts. So keep that spirit. Hone your skills. Invest in yourself, your job, and others. Hone your skill. If you're studying something, if you have a job, God give you talent, give you skill. Work on it. Get better at it. That's a gift that God has given you. Hone it. Number six, a commitment to delay gratification. That is powerful. Learning to wait, waiting on God, waiting on him. He will reward you in the right season, in the right time, and you will be glad for it if you learn to wait. And number seven, an appreciation of where you came from. Amen. Remember where God has brought us from. My brothers and sisters, we should be such grateful people that God has revealed to us this powerful word. He's given us skills and talents to bless our lives. He's enriching our lives by his grace. And where we came from, my goodness, where would we have been? My, if God didn't intervene and come on the scene. So keep that appreciation. Last slide, the musicians can come on up. And the word, I just want to run through some scriptures real quick on gratitude. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Psalms 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with the psalms. Amen. Psalms 92, as we get ready for this word, it is a good thing, praise God, to give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. Praise him. Thank him this morning. My God, praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High God. God bless you. Hey, let's renew our minds. Let's come enjoy the presence of the Lord this morning and be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.